Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, All Things New. Thank you to Amy, Mike, and Don for being involved in the video. The scripture reading is Revelation 21, 1-5.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our snowy first Sunday of 2022. I saw a tweet this week that said, I can't believe 2020 is almost over. It feels like we have just been in this perpetual year of 2020, but hopefully we will come to the end of it very soon. A couple of announcements to start. Happy birthday this week to Alan and Marie. I'm going to embarrass Alan. How old are you, Alan? 71. Happy birthday, Alan. A few finance announcements. Our annual meeting is scheduled for January 30th. Draft budgets are available now if you would like those. If you have 2021 receipts riding around somewhere in a purse, in a wallet, on a dresser, in a drawer, tucked away, please submit those before January 15th so we can reconcile our year financially. Donation receipts are in the mail. They went out yesterday. If you don't receive your receipt by January 15th, please speak to Adam and he will send you another copy. There is an order of service change for today and moving forward. We are switching to have communion early in the service and our message late. This is to make way for a hopeful Sunday school program running during our sermon. Our kids have been waiting a long time, so we want to make this happen for them. Martin and Len are recovering. This says at home, but I've seen Martin. He's right there, so recovering very well, very quickly. Martin is the fighter who just keeps bouncing back. He will not go down for the count, for sure. I'm going to begin our morning this morning with a reading from Revelation, and this is going to be our reading as well as our prayer. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Amen.
It's a time of reflection. It's been a time of reflection, especially more so in terms of the past holiday. Well, it's really still going on, but the holiday season we're going through now, that reflection on the whole story of the birth of Christ and what it means to the world, what it means to us personally as his people. And I really, really had a, well, because I stayed home or went to work, that was my choices and a lot of times. But I mean, reflect by reading articles and books as much. I can't really read books that well, but I could listen and read some articles to just brief ones if I strain. But reflections on different aspects of the Christmas story, and I got to thinking about the whole biblical story and how it leads up to the salvation of the world and the coming of Christ in the form of a baby, God with us, Emmanuel. And I thought, you know, if I was just a regular guy listening to all this, and I'm reflecting on, because I've done this with my one brother, and it just doesn't make sense. It's a made-up story. It's crazy. It's crazy that a loving God would create the earth and then create man, knowing that man would fail him and in the garden and did, and then he would have a plan B, a backup plan, and he would send his son, Jesus, into the world And yet the Bible is dotted with passages that says the very fact that at the right time, God sent for his son to save those under the law, to redeem those under the law. Or, you know, while we're still yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. And the list goes on of passages about how God in his foremind had set the plan in motion in place as soon as man messed up in the garden and sin entered the world. And then you think about this, and like, yet God still loved us, even at the point there where, you know, when we're separated because of sin, and yet he still had a plan, and yet he still loved us, and he still wanted to be with us. And it's like, that's a crazy kind of love. Why would you send your son from the throne in heaven down to earth to live among us, and then to teach us how to love and do all the things that we should have known how to do from the beginning? But here it is. God did it. Jesus came, and you're thinking about all that, and then Jesus goes to the cross, and there's a man hanging there, and, you know, this is the King of the Jews, and yet this is the Savior of the world. Like John the Baptist said, behold, here he is, the Lamb who comes to save, you know, the sins, take away the sins of the world. Even before Jesus started his ministry, John proclaimed it. It was proclaimed by the prophets of old to the Israelites. And I mean, and you think about all this, and you're thinking about, that's crazy. It's a crazy kind of love. It's a love that we cannot understand or fathom, yet God calls us to it. God brought us to our own, to his side, and he redeemed us. And he took away our sins. And that's what the communion's all about. To remember that crazy kind of love that God has for us, even though, as wretched as I may be, or sinful at times that we may feel, we're just feeling, you know, we're like filthy, but God redeemed us, and he loves us, and he brings us to his place of salvation and redemption, and we're pure again in his sight, because not because of anything we did, but because of what Jesus did. And so you turn around and like, well, maybe that's, I'm thinking about the theme for 2022. We're going through a pandemic. There's a lot of mental illness out there. There's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of social interaction that's not happening. The church is struggling to be a social community, person to person, all throughout the world. And yet there are opportunities to bring forth God's crazy kind of love to the person next to you, to the person that lives next to you, to the person you work beside. That should be our theme. Well, it's going to be my theme anyway, but I propose a theme. Not that we don't already have, I know this church has a lot of it, but can you imagine if we had that crazy kind of love that Jesus had for each one of us going to the cross? God will bless us, and we will grow in many ways that we will not be able to fathom until we look back and see. But the crazy kind of love, Jesus hanging on the cross, Jesus resurrecting, Jesus saving us from our sins, that's what communion is all about. And yet he transforms us, and we are called to love, maybe challenged to bring that crazy kind of love that God has given to us and share it with one another and with those who are still lost in our family, in our friends, and our neighbors. Let's go to God in prayer at this time. Dearly Father, we're so grateful for a new year, a new start. I know it's kind of tough because things are not normal. They're still not normal. we struggled on throughout the pandemic, and but some things remain the same. And the things that remain the same is your love for us and the fact that Jesus did go to the cross, and we, by his blood, are saved from our sins eternally. And Father, help us to remember that as we share in this time of communion together, and embrace the love of God, and yet share it with one another, and share with those who do not know yet about God's love or don't understand it yet. Father, thank you for your love and your understanding, and thank you for saving us from our sins. Through your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning and Happy New Year to everyone. Glad that you're with us. And I'm also very grateful for people basically throughout the world who watch our service on Sundays. I was sitting down late last night and just thinking about various people who have contacted me over the years of just, or over the last couple of years anyway, who've been part of us and are very grateful that we can be part with them. People from Germany, Australia, India, many of the United States, people in the prairies, of course, and on the East Coast as well. So we say thank you for being part of us, and we're very grateful for all of you this morning who are with us. So I want to go back now a couple of years to the beginning of the pandemic. And you may remember me telling you about having a horrible nightmare. And I don't usually get nightmares, but this was a significant nightmare. It was a horrific presence that sort of filled the room where I was. And there was a voice that I heard loud and clear saying, "I want to destroy everything." The darkness was very real, and I heard the voice very clearly. However, it didn't take long at all before I realized that Satan just wants to down us. And we know that God's voice is stronger than any negative voice in this world. We know that it's impossible for him to destroy everything, because even though there are terrible things that happen in the world, Jesus reminds us, in this world, you will have trouble. Show of hands, how many have ever had trouble in their life? Okay, that's pretty well 100%. In this world, you will have trouble. But you remember the second part? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world, says Jesus. And then in another occasion, he says, "Behold, I am making," listen to this, "all things new." Sometimes that's the most difficult thing to grasp because it doesn't seem so. But I am making all things new. It's like what Mike said at communion today. The death of Christ himself. How could anything be good in that? Well, there was a resurrection. His death, burial, and resurrection. The one who comes to whisper to us and sometimes speak loudly to us. It's the same that will happen to us. That we will die, that we will live again. And because Christ lives in us every day, all things can become new. So in this new year, Let's have new beginnings. Let's have new faith. You ever want to get deeper in your faith? New joy, new reconciliation, a new degree of love, new laughter, new life. Because Jesus is so correct when he says, I am making all things new. He didn't say, I did. I am making all things new. And so I said to myself this morning, Happy New Year. He's making all things new. And that's us as well. So it's interesting to think of New Year's and what it all means. In Scripture, in Psalm 65 and 1, it has different translations to it. It says, you crown the year with your goodness, O Lord. Or another translation of that verse says, praise awaits you, our God. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. And so throughout the year, and throughout different countries, there are customs that are celebrated differently in different countries. I just wanted to share some of these with you. In the ancient Egypt world, the holiday was celebrated, believe it or not, when the Nile flooded, because the flooding made it possible to grow the crops in the desert. And the people celebrated by taking statues of the god Amon, his wife and son, up the Nile in a boat. And people would sing and dance and feast. That was their way of celebrating the New Year customs. Babylonians' New Year was in the spring. During the festival, the king was stripped of his clothes and sent away for a few days, where there was a relaxation of laws. And then you guess what would happen. Everything turned upside down. And when he returned, man, he had a job to take care of all that rowdiness that was going on. Interesting how people would do that. The Roman New Year festival was called the Calends, and people decorated their homes and gave each other gifts. And it was the emperor, Julius Caesar, who began our calendar system, which is the first month. The Celtic New Year festival took place at the end of October, at summer's end. And the Celts gathered mistletoe to keep ghosts at bay for the new year. The Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, is a holy time when people consider things they have done wrong in the past and promise to do better in the future. And if you've ever watched that, it is a powerful outpouring where people will gather in the Jewish temple and put ashes down along and weep and cry for the things that they had done when they wished they hadn't done, knowing that God was still with them and that God would forgive them. And the congregation coming together and hugging one another, encouraging one another, being there for one another. How's that for an amazing celebration of a new year? The Muslim calendar is based on the movements of the moon. So the date of the new year is 11 days earlier each year. And by New Year's, the grains have produced shoots, reminding the people of a new life shooting forth in this year. Hindus do not celebrate the new year in the same way or the same time. The people of West Bengal wear flowers of pink, maybe you've seen this on TV, red, purple, or white, and they're throwing the flowers into the water. And the children all gather together and they eat oranges and they celebrate with one another. And then in Vietnam, they celebrate the new year for Tet. And if you remember the war, that was not a good time, but it's a unique time for them. The Vietnamese believe that there is a God in every home who travels to heaven, traditionally on a carpet, to report how good or bad each family member has been. And then they leave carp on the door. So unique ways of celebrating a new year. In Greece, the New Year's Day is also the festival of Saint Basil, who was famous for his kindness. Interesting. Greek children leave their shoes by the fireplace on New Year's Day with the hope that he will soon come and fill their shoes with gifts, kind of like our Christmas. And then, of course, all over the world, Robert Burns' poem, Old Anxiety, is sung at midnight on New Year's Eve. But going back in the history of some great theologians and what they think of a new year, just about every theologian that I've read, these theologians begin afresh. They begin anew. And every year is a new beginning. Not just a new preaching series or not just a new teaching series, but to dedicate ourselves again. Some of these great men and women who are theologically astute, profound, amazing people begin their spiritual journey anew every year. What can I do different this year that will help someone? What can I teach this year that will help people understand Christ better? How can I live this year in such a way that it'll be the great year for encouraging and helping and following the fruit of the Spirit, of showing more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? And not just preaching it, not just saying it, but actually doing it and really looking at ourselves and saying, how am I doing with this? How am I growing with all of this? A.W. Tozer, longtime editor of the Alliance Witness, once penned this greeting to cover January 1, 1938, in his edition of his magazine. And here's what he says. While all the promises of God are true and precious, yet it's good to take them one by one and slowly committing ourselves to each of them. If you ask God to give you a special message for the opening one, the opening year, a promise that will be made seasonable in every way of the unknown future, you will be surprised how faithfully God will show those promises to be true. If you ask, watch God respond. The hymnist Francis Ridley Havergal took the New Year's Day very seriously. She said, Christmas was wonderful. He said, Christmas was wonderful. But the new year is a dedication. The greatest gift, of course, was Jesus. But the new year is to dedicate ourselves to Christ himself. And then Francis Havergal wrote these wonderful words in a song, a hymn. Another year is dawning. Father, let it be. In working or in waiting, another year with thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving thy presence all the days. So many of us have Bible commentaries, and over the years, it's interesting to read different commentators and what they say, and the new things that have come out. Probably Matthew Henry, even though it was a long time ago that he wrote his commentary in 1705, it's a staple. I have it, and I regularly refer to Matthew Henry's commentary. And his resolution in 1705 says these words: not renouncing, but repeating and ratifying all my former promises with God, and lamenting it that I have not lived up more closely to them. I do in the beginning of this new year solemnly make a fresh surrender of myself, my whole self, body, soul, and spirit, to God the Father, and the Son, the Redeemer, and the Holy Ghost, covenanting and promising not in any strength of my own, for I am very weak, but in the strength of the grace of Jesus Christ, that I will endeavor this year to stand complete in all of the will of God. I know this will of God, even my sanctification. Lord, grant that this year I may be more holy and walk more closely than ever in all holy conversation. I earnestly desire to be filled with thy holy thoughts, to be carried out in holy affections, determined by holy aims and intentions, and governed in all my words and actions by holy principles. Oh, that a golden thread of holiness may run through the whole web of my life this year. And even though it was written so many years ago, I find it to be very, very helpful. So from the Old Testament, we are reminded of newness. You know, interesting in the Bible, there's the Old Testament and the New. But in the Old Testament, there's a lot of new. And in the New Testament, there's a lot of old. It's the testament of God, no matter what age people live. But from Old and New Testament, we are reminded of newness, renewal, restoration, and reformation. And man, Isaiah really taught us that as well. Paul talked about that it's God's intent to bring all things together, things in heaven and things on earth, Ephesians 1:10, and to reconcile all things, Colossians 1:19. One of the most profound statements in the Bible, I think, that it's God's intent to bring all things, all people together. This is a happy, glorious reminder of the newness that God has always given to those who ask. In Isaiah, he writes from God's words, "I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. So be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create." So in this year, 2022, may we remember and rejoice in the promise of God. Renewal, restoration, redemption, and reconciliation. Let's remind ourselves of the newness and renewal and reconciliation that God gives. It's not trying to create it. It's allowing ourselves to receive it. Doesn't that make sense? We can try to renew ourselves. We can try to reconcile. We can try to do all these things. But God is saying, here, it's yours. Take it. Receive it. It's like the time that many of us, when we made the decision to be baptized into Christ, it was a decision we made. God helped us. God brought us to the point. For many of us, we remember we couldn't help but be baptized. And the day that we wanted to be baptized, it couldn't get here quickly enough. We wanted it so badly. We wanted to be with God in that unique, special, powerful way that can never be duplicated. It's what we wanted to do. We couldn't wait for it to happen. And you read the Old Testament, and people like Isaiah and Jeremiah and other people, Zephaniah, are expressing, we can't wait to be with God in a powerful way. The Holy Spirit moved them to write powerful words in the book of Isaiah to bring all things together, things in heaven and things on earth. He wrote that 700 years before Christ was born. It's the concept of newness always being restored in our lives, if we will allow it. So, in this year, let's remind ourselves, I know I will, of the newness that God brings, the renewal, the reconciliation that God gives us. So Jesus said to his followers in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, in verse 28, listen to what he said. "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man, Jesus, sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones." It's this symbolism of being with Christ forever. And then following the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, Peter declares these words in Acts 3, 19 to 21. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. And then he says that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. So do we remember that the many promises of God in the Old Testament were also promises for us, and in the New, of course? In Romans 8, the apostle reminds us of giving us new bodies one day. Chapter 8 and verse 11 of Romans. And if the Holy Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So you're going to see your dad again. You're going to see your mom again. You're going to meet people who you never saw, but you heard about. Grandparents, great-grandparents, friends who went off to the war, never came back. See them again. Newness, reconciliation. Anything God creates never dies. The newness of all things, the reconciliation. Can you imagine the day? Heaven and earth combine all together, a new heaven and a new earth. And we see all the people that we've loved so much and haven't seen them for a while. We will be together again. It's the newness. In any new year, we are reminded those people whom we love will be with us forever, because we can still feel them. Even though they've been gone for years and years, they live right here. And we'll see them again, face to face. It's profound. So if you're feeling low, if you're having trouble, if you're having hardships, remember who you belong to. Remember who you're part of. Paul says, but our citizenship, it's in heaven. We're Canadian citizens or American citizens, but now we're really citizens of heaven. I often wondered about answering it that way, you know, when you're going through the border. Citizenship, heaven? Yes, that's our citizenship. That's what he calls us to. Of course, they may not let you in after saying that, but anyway, there you go. Our citizenship is in heaven, and it says, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his power that enables everything under his control, this is a promise for us now, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Happy New Year. Can you imagine? And one other Happy New Year promise was made many years ago from the Apostle John. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Happy New Year. That's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Jesus. But we know Jesus. And we're part of him. And then he says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be, we don't know yet. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. Pardon? We shall be like him. Those sins that nag you will be no more. Those hurts that make you angry will be no more. Those negative thoughts, those negative times, gone. But that one day, we will be new as he is new. And then lastly, in the last book of the Bible, of course, the Revelation, the revealing of Jesus in a spectacular way, Jesus says to John these words, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and forever." And then he says in 21:6, "I am the beginning and I am the end." And we're part of all that. So in this new year, may we remember the promises of God through Jesus and the Spirit, the renewal, redemption, restoration, reconciliation of all things, that we are part of it all. I conclude with these words, not mine. "And then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, Jesus, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing the 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb, Jesus, will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and forever." I hope that this year we will be reminded of these amazing promises God gives us and what we have to look forward to. And we can encourage others knowing that they can have it too. Happy New Year.
I want to thank Don and Mike for their words today and what they shared. Don talking about all of the ways that this season is celebrated. One of the things I've been thinking about is one of my favorite ways of describing this season, and it's from fiction, and it is, we are halfway out of the dark. And I think that is a really apt description. I am not a lover of winter, and we have not had our coldest day this winter. We have not had our snowiest day this winter, but we have had our darkest day this winter. It is already past. We are halfway out of the dark. And the light is coming incrementally each day, seconds longer than the day before, or maybe minutes, but very small increments, and we don't really notice it creeping up on us. Until one day in March, we go, "Oh, it's still bright and I'm eating supper. Oh, I'm walking to work in the light. I can't believe it happened." I think sometimes hope is like that. It comes in these little swatches, seconds at a time, and we don't notice it building, but it is building. We are halfway through the dark, and we are halfway out of the dark, and we are moving towards the light. So let's celebrate that. Let's pray together as we close. Dear God, we thank you for the reminders that you put in nature of your hope, of your promises that never fail. God, we thank you for the light that you bring into our life in little bits here and there as we build towards your light. Help us to reflect your light into our community this week and into our homes and into our interactions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scriptures marked NKJV, taken from the New King James Version, copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc., used by permission, All rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.